Oh yeah. You better believe it. Better believe.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, yeah! Hello, welcome, one and all. It is October 26th. Ooh, spooky. And that means it is Tuesday. Oh, yeah. Tuesday. Hello, 10WSZOKU97. Z clear to you. press H for help. It's news time. So, thank you so much for being here. Oh, holy cow. Whoa. I have an incoming call on my... voice on my SDF number. And for the first time in a long time, it's actually, the program actually launched, so hooray. I have two voicemails, and I guess they're going to leave me a third one because I can't use my audio. I can't talk to that program while, oh crap, where'd it go? Well, anyway. Hello. Sorry, I got a little excited because I thought I was going to be able to talk on my VoIP client, but I forgot that whenever I have Mix running, I cannot switch over, so that would be why. Alrighty, well, yes indeed, SMJ, I am live right here for you. So anyhow, let's go ahead, and I'll just say this, we'll get this part done real quick. If you're listening and you're not in comm, you can join and hang out with cool people like X1 and GTC 1977 and Ratsu and Dirty Rig, Stug, everybody, all the cool people, M. Stoney, SMJ. We are all live and hanging out in comm. All you have to do is SSH over as SDF user at SDF.org and then press type out com, C-O-M, press G for go to, and then a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word, boom, you'll be in the room. All you have to do is press H for help, or press space and then just start typing whenever your name pops up in front of you. Hello, AGK, welcome, and welcome to everyone who's listening or in com, one way or the other. Welcome indeed, X2180, etc. So, thanks so much for being here. And once you are in comm, if you press the equal sign, you can see the schedule for Anon Radio. Because today means it's Praise the Darkness Day, followed by Mondo Trasho and Organized Insanity. And DJ Bronzy Beat coming up tonight with The Resistance. So, and much like Hotel California, it's very easy to get there, but it's difficult to leave. don't write quit. Alright, anyhow, that's kind of the beginning of things. So, there we go. Sorry, my glasses are falling off. Alright, let's go ahead and get started. We've got a lot of what we, I guess you might call traditionally sad news to me stories. So, prepare yourself. Let's go ahead and get started the way we almost always start.
World news.
That's right, world news. First, migrants are trapped at the Belarus-Poland border, calling for help via videos and sending GPS coordinates. Since August, thousands of migrants have been trying to cross the Polish border from Belarus. They have come from Yemen, Syria, Iraq, or the Democratic Republic of Congo, hoping to enter the European Union. Poland has accused Belarusian head of state Alexander Lukashenko of instrumentalizing migrants in a feud with the EU and has opted to deport them. Turned away from both sides, men, women, and children find themselves stranded along the border in the middle of a forest. So, this is going to be a best-selling book one day if any of these kids survive long enough to tell their tale. We are probably going to meet a family with children. Would you like to join us? Saturday, October 9th at 3 p.m., Peter Bistrian sent a message to the reporters. Peter is a member of the Akalin Foundation, a Polish NGO helping migrants and refugees. Since the summer, their team takes turns every week to go 200 kilometers outside the capital to the border region of Podlaski to monitor the unprecedented migration crisis. Someone sends us GPS position near the small village, and this is where a family from Iraq, Kurdistan, was spotted. After a 7-day trek from Belarus, they arrive in Poland by evading the border guards. We receive alerts about their presence of group of migrants. Peter Bistrani briefly explains, what we know is that many migrants send their GPS position to organizations or press to call for help. So, this is pretty wild stuff, right? And anyway, it's just kind of sad, but if you want to read more, there's a long article and video over there at France 24 that I think is worth your time, so I wanted to start with that. Okie doke. Well, let's keep it moving. This is going to talk about sexual politics, so could be you just want to be sure and mention, you know, this could be sensitive for some people. 35-year-old Ugandan Cleopatra Kambugu has been transitioning over the last 2 decades. Her journey to become the woman she is has been excruciating and traumatizing. Finding hormonal drugs from hospitals was difficult, and she was easily the target of sexual abuse while a student at Makerere University. The agricultural, biology, and human rights activist recently posted about government granting her national ID, reading F for female to specify her gender. We talked about this maybe as I was going off the air a while back. It's not even a triumph against the government. It's a triumph for the government. I think it's amazing that Uganda is thinking about gender this way, this broadly. I think it's important that our policies catch up with what the world actually does look like, which is there are people who are born with a gender that they identify with, and it's the same gender which appears on their IDs that they were assigned at birth. But there might be some people whose gender they were assigned at birth isn't the same as they identify with. And so how do you count these people? Recognize them. And this could even be a further extension of a conversation into people who are intersexed, people who are born with genitalia that you can't really define, says the human rights activist. Uganda's LGBTQ community is shunned, and like in the rest of Africa, but Cleopatra's story is not about LGBTQ rights. She identifies as a heterosexual female. If you happen to be a transgendered person like I am, where you are a transgender woman and you identify as a woman, but that doesn't even align with what I look like on the passport, it's even harder. So how do we ensure that we have equal access for all genders irrespective, and all the people in this country, irrespective of what you may identify as, whatever tribe you might be, religion, age? That is why I think the Equal Opportunities Commission was created in this country. So this is a policy matter. It's not a religious matter and should be handled in policy. Uganda came under international criticism when it passed the anti-gay bill in 2014, which proposed harsh punishment for same-sex relations. In Cleopatra's case, it is difficult to separate her story from LGBTQ struggles in Uganda. Her struggle is about rebuilding the new normal transgender people strive for, to be recognized without being policed on how they look or who they sleep with. So, anyway, I thought this was a positive story about, and just kind of a good thing, so I wanted to mention it, give it a little bit of time. One other relationship story, this coming to us from Japan. Japan's Princess Meiko finally marries commoner boyfriend Kei Komuro. Japan's Princess Meiko has married her college sweetheart Kei Komuro, thus losing her royal status. Under Japanese law, female imperial family members forfeit their status upon marriage to a commoner, although male members do not. She also skipped the usual rites of a royal wedding and turned down a payment offered to royal females upon their departure from the family. She's the first female member of the royal family to decline both. The couple are expected to move to the U.S., where Mr. Komuro works as a lawyer after marriage. The move has drawn inevitable comparisons with British royals Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, earning the newlyweds the nickname Japan's Harry and Meghan. Aww. Like Miss Markle, Mr. Kimuro has come under intense scrutiny since his relationship was announced. He was most recently criticized for sporting a ponytail when he returned to Japan. Some tabloid newspapers and social media users felt this hairstyle, seen as unconventional in Japan, was unbecoming of someone set to marry a princess. There was also a protest on Tuesday against their marriage. So, yep. Yeah, I'm on board, X1. I think that's a positive story there for Uganda. And I just thought this was neat. Anytime there's a princess story, sometimes I get like, oh, what's going on? But I thought this was special because it kind of highlights the difference in gender roles and rights there in Japan. All right. Thanks, AGK. That's interesting. All right. Focus. We're playing. We're playing dangerously close.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Music time. All right. So we're going to go ahead and do a series of stories that what's the right way to put it? They're not the where are they? Doot. I guess we're just going to say this is going to be the dead kid block, if anything else. So just kind of as a heads up, if you're kind of upset about that, you'll hear some music playing in a little bit, and that'll be your cue that we're done with this block. But that's the way sad news sometimes works. All right. So first, this is the least troubling one. Kashmir students who cheered for Pakistan have been booked under a terror law. Police in Indian-administered Kashmir have filed criminal cases under a stringent anti-terror law against students of two medical colleges in the region for celebrating Pakistan's victory against India in the T20 World Cup. Pakistan thrashed India with a 10-wicket victory in the cricket match on Sunday night. India's loss triggered attacks against Kashmiri students in western Punjab state, and a Muslim member of the Indian team was abused online. So yeah, anti-India sentiment runs deep in Kashmir. It's a Himalayan territory claimed both by India and Pakistan, and they each rule part of it. So that's kind of a bummer. A mystery neighbor. So we talked about the kids who were abandoned in that apartment yesterday, and their desiccated brother's remains were found. Well, a neighbor reportedly helped the three children who were abandoned in the apartment, along with the skeletal, that were abandoned in that apartment. The unidentified neighbor had been charging their phones and bringing food to the children for at least a couple of weeks after the power in their apartment was cut off. Spokesperson for Harris County Sheriff Department told news website The Daily Beast on Monday. The children, aged 15, 10, and 7, were found after Houston police received a call on Sunday from the eldest sibling. Concerns have been raised by other neighbors about how children were not discovered in the apartment complex earlier. Residents who didn't wish to be named told the Daily Beast that it was surprising that maintenance workers who'd been visiting the apartment regularly had not noticed the remains of the child. Some neighbors told the outlet that while the child's mother was seen around the apartment complex, they didn't know she had children. Officials had gone to the building about 32 kilometers away from downtown Houston and found the three children as well as the skeleton of the sibling lying in the open. So wild, right? But anyway, I just thought this was, I probably should have put this last cause this is kind of sad. Here, we'll do the saddest one first. Two teenagers found dead in a car outside school in North Carolina, police say. No foul play or criminal act suspected in what law enforcement believes were accidental deaths. Two high school students have been found dead in a car parked outside of the school. Law enforcement found the teenagers on Sunday after receiving reports of a suspicious vehicle at the campus. Hoke County Schools confirmed that the students were found were Brittany Carolina Munoz Ramirez and Elton Sebastian Tirado Martinez. They were both in 11th grade at Hoke County High School in Rayford, according to District Superintendent Dr. Deborah Dallas. Dallas said in a statement on Facebook, Hoke County School joins our community in mourning loss of our students. WNCN reported that a captain with the office of the Hope County Sheriff's indicated that law enforcement believes the deaths are accidental and that the possibility of a murder-suicide has been dismissed. The sheriff also appeared to rule out that drug overdose could be the cause, but wouldn't confirm nor deny the possibility that the deaths could be caused by carbon monoxide poisoning. Investigation's ongoing, and police have said no further information will be provided. So, anyway, just a senseless loss of life. And in our good dear friends down in Clovis, California, parents reportedly jeered at an immunocompromised student after they spoke in favor of mask mandates at a school board meeting, prompting the district to promise that changes will be made to ensure that everyone speaking at meetings feels safe. Buchanan High School senior Rami Zwebdi was booed after they spoke during the meeting on Wednesday, the Fresno Bee reported. Zwebdi identifies as non-binary, according to the Bee. We sit here arguing about a piece of fabric that weighs 12 grams, while millions of families lose their loved ones. Set aside your pretentious arrogance and think of those you hold dear. Think about how you would feel if they were suddenly taken from you without warning, without mercy. I'm sick of hearing able individuals complain about masks and vaccines. Your ignorance and privilege speak volumes. And that's all from Zwebti. Superintendent Imer O'Brien told the Fresno Bee that she had asked Clovis Unified School Board President Stephen Fogg to re-examine his current meeting's protocols to ensure our students feel safe when attending future board meetings. Ms. O'Brien said Dr. Fogg had said he would contact Zwebti to convey his commitment to the creation of a more respectful environment in the future. It's pretty rough. But basically, yeah, an immunocompromised student went to the board meeting to complain about the mask policy or lack of a mask mandate, and that was their response. All right. Ugh. Well.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Just the one last one here, and then we'll play a song. Boys age 7 mauled to death. A 7-year-old's been mauled to death by a rescue dog his family adopted just weeks earlier. James McNeilis died on October 20th following an attack by the Sheltie Corgi mix, which the family had found abandoned by the side of the road 3 weeks prior to the incident. According to CBS News affiliate News on the 6th, the boy was reported missing by his family after he went outside to play in his backyard, where it's believed he was attacked. In a post to a GoFundMe page set up in his memory, his mother Hannah Markley wrote, "On October 20th, 2021, Michael and Hannah found their little boy mauled in their backyard. The family, neighbors in Kiefer, Oklahoma, said they were alerted to the situation when emergency patrol vehicles were dispatched for the youngster, but ultimately it was the boy's parents who discovered his body. We just started seeing flashing lights. Kiefer police, highway patrol, another vehicle had their lights on, driving up and down the road. We knew something was wrong. As a mother, you know that scream. If anybody has ever heard that scream, you know that scream. Something was catastrophically wrong." Well, that's pretty much... All right, that's all the
sad...
Get the
news over with. I want to hear the music.
This is Waking Up Alone from the Get Up Kids. We'll be right back.
have to apologize for the lies that we used to survive. Is it me or do we have to make an excuse every time that we get to this point in our life? Oh, c'est la vie, mon ami. We never have to apologize for the lies that we used to survive. Is it me or do we have to make an excuse every time we get to this point? No, it never gets easier. Waking up alone. Now my sad little heart is growing cold. No, it never gets easier. Guess I should have known that you can't stop what is out of your control. No, it never gets easier. Waking up alone. Now my sad little heart is growing cold. No, it never gets easier. Guess I should have known that you can't stop what is out of your control.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, that is right. You are listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF, and that was the Get Up Kids, Waking Up Alone. It is 5 minutes and some change before 1930 UTC, which means that it's almost time for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. This very may well be the last time you hear from our good friend Tobe, so please tune in if you are not. Please stick around if you're already here. So let's check this out. We've got some... We got a couple of tech news stories I want to be sure and mention here because there's some neat stuff happening. Police in the U.S. and Europe have arrested 150 suspects in a global dark web sting. Police around the world arrested 150 suspects, including several high-profile targets involved in buying or selling illegal goods online in one of the largest ever stings targeting the dark web, Europol said Tuesday. Operation Dark Huntor, using a pun with Tor, the anonymous routing network, also recovered millions of euros in cash and Bitcoin, as well as drugs and guns. The bust stems from a German-led police sting earlier this year, taking down the world's largest darknet marketplace. Dark Huntor was composed of a series of separate but complementary actions in Australia, Bulgaria, France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and the United States, the Hague-based Europol said. In the U.S. alone, police arrested 65 people, while 47 were held in Germany, 24 in Berlin, 4 in Italy, and the Netherlands, among others. A number of those arrested were considered high-value targets. Law agents confiscated 26.7 million euros in cash and virtual currencies, as well as 45 guns and 234 kilograms of drugs, including 25,000 ecstasy pills. So, that's going to be where, ooh, they're going to be having a nice time, touching lots of cool blankets and stuff. Italian police also shut down the Deep Sea and Berlusconi marketplaces, which together boasted over 100,000 announcements of illegal products. German police in January closed down the Dark Market online marketplace used by its alleged operator, an Australian, to facilitate the sale of drugs, stolen credit card data, and malware. So, pretty wild, but that's going on there. Vultures, this is a gross story, but kind of fun. Vultures who came to stay bring year of acid vomit and toxic feces to small town. Residents of a North Carolina town have spoken of their dismay after spending more than a year besieged by scores of buzzards. The birds, which arrived in Bunn in late 2020, quickly staked out their territory in the 344-person town. Standing at 2 feet tall, clad in dark brown feathers, and described as graceful in flight, yet awkward on the ground, the buzzards have also proven to be remarkably self-possessed and have resisted all attempts at dispersal. Over the past 12 months, a high school and a cell tower have become the birds' regular haunts, along with the home of one unfortunate local resident. This weekend, they were up there swarming, Leggett told the News and Observer newspaper, referring to the roof of her house. It makes my dogs insane. Leggett has counted up to 58 of the buzzards on her property. She said the birds have slowly destroyed her chimney, while according to the News and Observer, they also scattered droppings like liquid business cards. Wild, right? So, yeah, this town is being destroyed here, as well as destroying the chimney. The buzzards also reportedly damaged the roof of a Chinese restaurant, and more generally have proved to be an eerie presence. A further nuisance is the toxicity of the feces. Because of the quality and quantity of their food, their digestive systems handle, strong stomach acids are necessary. The acidity of their expulsions, she said, can strip the paint from a car and presumably anything else covered in paint in no time. So, bleh, gross. Astronomers spot first possible exoplanet outside of our galaxy. A possible Saturn-sized planet identified in the distant Whirlpool galaxy could be the first exoplanet to be detected outside the Milky Way. It appears to be orbiting an X-ray binary made up of a normal star and a collapsed star or black hole, with its distance from this binary roughly equivalent to the distance of Uranus from the Sun. So, anyway, I thought that was really cool. We're running out of time, so we'll just do a couple of other ones real quick. ProPublica has a bit longer piece, but it's worth reading, about scammers who are using fake job ads to steal people's identities. From Facebook to LinkedIn to Indeed, ads are popping up that promise well-paying jobs if applicants give their social security numbers and other details up front. Scammers then use the information to apply for unemployment benefits. So, anyway, check that out. And in sad news, because we're out of time. I'll just give you this headline, and then we'll go on about our day. Go on to the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed into law a bill banning transgender girls from participating in female sports at public schools. The bill is part of a wave of similar measures emerging from Republican-controlled state houses across the U.S. So, it's pretty gross. The transgender sport measure marks the latest in a slate of right-wing bills introduced by Texas's legislature and the Republican governor this year. Anyway, it's terrible. It's pretty lame. Sorry, I spammed bees in com. All right, well, enjoy Dubious Goals Committee. Bye! 7